because I suddenly had, you know, no structure, you know, no income, nothing going on. And I was, oh my God, this is my entire construct from education to now. And then I started to think about, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? My wife and I, we had that conversation. She said, you've always wanted to be a barber. I went, what? I have. And I'd always wanted to do it.
So you threw away your whole previous life.
Threw it away.
And then, I mean, that's a big decision.
Sam said to me, describe like your first year or 2 years. And I said it was like a mixture of adulation and humiliation. Because sometimes I was like on top of the world. I was like, oh my God, look at that haircut.
I was born for this.
And then you think, right, who's next? And the haircut comes in, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't go how you expect. For me, the key of this business and this industry that I've learned in my short time in it is it's all about the community you're in. It's about the clients who come back to you. It's a privilege that they let us cut their hair. You know, they don't have to come to me. And I even look at that with my clients who I've been cutting for 2 years now. The most important thing is that I give that person a good haircut before anything else, because they are still paying me. And, you know, for me, client experience, how you treat them is so important. And that to me is the premium thing. And then everything else will come after that.
Hi there, I'm Anthony Laban, and you're watching the Noble Barber Podcast. We're here to cut through the crap of the industry and give the answers, or at least try and find the answers to the problems that all of us as business owners struggle with every day. Thanks very much for watching. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and I'm here today talking to Dan Burnett. Dan, great stuff. Lovely to meet you properly.
Good to see you.
We met for about 48 seconds on the floor of Barber Connect.
Yeah.
And I really am interested in, we'll extract more from that 48 second conversation. But maybe you could just start off with, well, you did 10 years, was it, somewhere else? You weren't a barber for a decade. What was your previous life?
Well, I finished uni in 2005. I did a business with e-commerce degree. And I actually did my dissertation on the evolution of hair and grooming and styling at that time. And it's something I'd always been really interested in. Life took over and went down another avenue, got into recruitment for a few years. You know, it was good fun. I learned a lot of selling, a lot of business to business, a lot of client management, all that sort of stuff. I sort of felt it wasn't for me. And I think that was the starting point of that feeling, maybe. After that, I just thought, I'm not enjoying this. I need to do something different. So I got into the health and fitness industry. I worked for David Lloyd for the best part of 2 years. Started there as just like a junior sales consultant, membership consultant. Great job, great fun environment. We were living in Surrey at the time, and then we made the move to London, and I got a job with Virgin Active, big health club chains, and I ended up being there for 9 years. I went in as a membership manager, member service manager, and over the years built my roles. I went to like assistant general manager, and then I became like a dual site manager. Honestly, I had the best time there, you know, 9 years of so much fun, learning, great environment, great culture, great people. I was lucky to work with some incredible people that I was managed by, some great business leaders. And I think professionally for me, it was really a formative time, you know. And then we got to 2019. My wife and I, we'd been talking about traveling, doing a sabbatical, taking a break. We mulled that over for a good few years leading up to it, and we finally made that decision to do it. So we left August 19, not 19th of August, August 2019. We took a motorhome from London to Croatia and back over 2 months. It was incredible.
Fantastic.
And I'll tell you what, driving a motorhome around some tight, tight country lanes, that is not fun. And I'm not a good enough driver to be handling that. But yeah, we did that. And then we came back for a couple of weeks. And then we did a full snow season in the Alps.
Wow.
Just snowboarding. And it was during that sort of, that first 2 months was great. We came away and my brain started to relax.
Just having some headspace away from what you've been doing.
And it was terrifying. Because I suddenly had, you know, no structure, you know, no income, nothing going on. And I was, oh my God, this is my entire construct from education to now. And then I started to think about, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And my wife and I, we had that conversation. She said, you've always wanted to be a barber. And I went, what? I have. And I'd always wanted to do it. And then I suddenly had that fear of, I have to make a decision here. I want to make a decision. So yeah, we made that decision.
So you threw away your whole previous life.
Threw it away.
And then, I mean, that's a big decision.
It was, yeah.
And especially, you know, a lot older than presumably a lot of people that are starting. Yeah. How old were you when?
So I was probably 36, 37
wow, so
at that
you're
time.
Quite, you know, you're quite formed in your career.
Yeah.
And then, so how did you step into barbering? How did that come about?
After making that decision, we were like, God, how do we even do this? Mm. Started doing some inquiries, and then we sort of made that decision that I wouldn't go back and do the old work. Started looking at qualifications. We looked at London School of Barbering, a few other academies around the country. And during this process, COVID started, right?
Yeah.
So we had that first period of that, what is it, April 2020, I want to say, March 2020. And I think I already paid a deposit to go to London School of Barbering, but didn't end up starting until the September.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was sort of without a job. We come back, no job, made this idea to career change, and it felt horrendous. But then it was also possibly one of the best things that could have happened, because I had time to go, it was easy to want this in the Alps, but do you really want this?
Yeah.
And I had some great time to think about it, and it actually like hardened the thought in my head. I thought, I really do want to do this. So I ended up doing some work on Test and Trace during the lockdowns. And then finally started the course at London School of Barbering in Farringdon, Liverpool Street area, yeah. September 2020.
And Phil Wright from the first model?
Do you know what? No. No.
Thank you.
You know that moment when you're like, oh, I've got no natural skill for this. I was terrified because of the lockdowns. We were wearing full aprons, yeah. Masks, visors, gloves, and you let alone everything being alien around touch, movement, feel, skill, yeah. Process. Oh my God, there's a model. There's a, you know, we had the blockheads. What have I done? I was so scared. You know, you have that moment where you're like, I'm not any good at this.
It's meant to come together. This is the moment. Yeah. It's all meant to come together, and it didn't.
And it really didn't. But the teachers we had there were great. And of course, it's a process, right? And a recurring theme through, you know, the time I've been barbering is that in my head, I was always aware, you can't cheat the skill, right? You want to progress fast, but you can't cheat the skill. It's like practice, it's focus, it's practice, it's focus. Make a mistake, go again. So did the full 8 weeks there, qualified. I think it was like the 4th or 5th of November. And then the very next day was the big lockdown.
You'd learn all this skill and then you could do nothing with it.
Yeah, and on the last day of the course, we were doing our final trims or whatever, and I absolutely like cut my finger open and took the top of my finger off. And I was like, God. Just passed, going into lockdown, perfect. Half my finger hanging off. Amazing how those blades are, how sharp those blades are. And you don't really notice until you put them through your hand. But outside of that initial shock and fear of not knowing what I was doing, I mean, within 2 weeks there, we were cutting on full clients, you know. But it was a great experience and I'm glad I did it.
And so by the time you'd left in 8 weeks, you were more convinced that it was the right thing. You felt more comfortable with it. Yeah. It did feel like you had this in you.
Like I say, once I got past that initial fear and shock and nerves, just it suddenly started to feel right, you know, moving the scissors, moving the clippers, starting to see something you can create with your hands, which is, you know, like that hadn't been a thing. I'd always wanted it when I was younger. I tried to do music, wasn't very good at it. And I was always trying to do stuff with my hands, and that was something I thought, cool, I can learn this skill. You know, it's a progress, and respecting that progress and process was really fun.
And liked your haircuts by the end of the 6th, 7th week.
Yeah, do you know? I think
you're looking at it with a bit of pride finally.
Yeah, and I look back on, because I've always tracked them all on my Instagram, all my first ones. I did like LSB week 1, week 2, right through. So I look back, and when I started in shop finally, I look back with a bit of embarrassment. But now I look back on them with sort of a bit of love and affection, because you go, it's good to see how far you can come in a relatively quick and short amount of time.
Now, so you've done that, and this comes up a lot with these 8, 9, 12 weeks variety of people doing them. That you know, a lot of them get called kind of, you know, from, you know, zero to hero and on the shop floor and all this kind of stuff. And I've had Michael on here, and he agrees that you're not, you know, by the end of the course, you've got the skills, but you need the practice. You're not shop, you know, you're not shop floor ready. You and I've had the conversation a million times about making graduate schemes for barbershop owners not to expect someone to come out of LSB or Menspire or any of the others that do these big courses and expect them to come straight in and run. Mm. And I advocate this whole idea of, you know, a graduate scheme, you know, working alongside them. Presumably you found someone really supportive when lockdown was over, that you appeared and kind of went,
I've done 8 weeks, got a job. How did that phase kick off?
So I was living in South London at that time, and I'd looked at a few shops, and there was a shop in Tooting, still a shop in Tooting, called The Wild Hare, and it's run by Georgie, and it's an incredible sort of barber shop right on Tooting Broadway, great location, super busy. And I remember finding out about it before, and I thought, I'd really love to work there. Mm. So I emailed, and Georgie got back to me, and she offered me like a junior trainee apprentice role. And it was incredible, really. I had, we started off, what, the 13th of April, the 12th of April, when lockdown finished. The training started, you know, supervised cuts. And Georgie's sort of plan for me was to do some bartering, right? To do 100 haircuts, to get them either supervised or watched. And as my skill grew, that supervision and watching became less. Each haircut had to be signed off by a lead barber, a senior barber, or Georgie if she was there. And then when I got to 100 haircuts, I was allowed to be free, you know, and carry on. So literally starting from scratch, right? It was a slow process. So I started that in the April, finished August, September time.
And you got these, were you having to hustle to get these haircuts in? Were they your 100 victims that you dragged in? Were you charging for these haircuts?
Yeah, I wish I had 100 friends. A combination of things, walk-ins, you know, they advertise, you know, how do you put it? Cheaper cuts with Dan, you know, trainee barber, junior barber. That generated some stuff. I also got some leaflets printed, went to the local businesses, just went and flyered and was active. Mm. And I didn't really have much of an Instagram presence at that time either. So I probably had a few hundred followers. So, you know, and any friends who might have wanted a haircut were like, nah, mate, I'm going to wait 6 months, you know. So that's why it was slow, because it was just relying on a bit of goodwill.
So your 100 haircuts took you from the April to the September. So what's that, 5 months-ish?
Yeah.
Could you feel, I mean, obviously I would have seen the difference, but were you aware that you could see the importance of these 100 haircuts from kind of the first 10 compared to the last 10?
Yeah, I've got a picture of me doing my first skin fade on someone. I was hunched over, I was nervous, and I remember the feeling of, oh my God, I hope Georgie's there so she can come and help me and finish this haircut off. Mm. I was so nervous, you know? And then as that grew and I got through, I took pictures of everyone I did for submission. I was like, that actually looks all right. That looks all right. And how my skill has formed in my head over the years is I can do it and I can practice it, but then I have like epiphanies and I see it and I'm like, oh, I understand that now. Mm. I understand why fading up's important, or fading down, or putting the weight on a corner, or removing the weight, or however you balance. And that's how it worked for me. So it was like these little obstacles that I jumped over and, oh, cool. I understand how to do that now.
Yeah.
But I could have watched it 100 times and not got it until I felt it and went, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I say that a lot with our apprentices. There's a kind of switch that goes on. You're like, oh my God. And there's not probably anything tangible that's happened. It just connects.
Yeah, it really is true.
And so, I mean, that's now, so you've done 8 weeks, so 2 months with LSB. You've now done 5 months with the Tooting Barber.
Yeah.
And now you're on the floor with them. You're now running a proper column. These cheap cuts with Dan have become full price cuts with Dan.
Yeah, I think my I went from like a tenner to 15 to 20 to 25. And I think I started from like an apprentice, because I was a little bit older. We were calling it like a senior apprentice, just to, you know, it wasn't a shock when someone came in and saw a 37 or 38-year-old apprentice.
It's like this 17-year-old's had our paper around.
Jeez, do you not get enough sleep, mate? And it was like that. That was good.
And you've done that. So, I mean, I don't have to answer, but, you know, that's 7 months. How are you and that's spread over 2 years of lockdown, presumably.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough on your finances.
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of doing this career, any career change, or at least the only career change I've done, is my wife and I, we built a good life together. Mm. We made lots of good decisions. Some that worked, some that didn't work. But a big part of our decision-making process was Dan's going to go from X amount of salary to nothing and then build. And we just knew that we'd have to...
That was a commitment you were both making.
And Faye, she's got a great job, a great career. And we knew that, that her salary and her success was going to support, you know, this renewed career. And it's amazing how quickly you can live to your means, right? Things you think you need, you don't really need. And that was one of the hardest things, you know.
Well, I think that's one of the bits, you know. I mean, I've had Michael on here, and I quite like Michael. Michael's definitely a Marmite of all our podcasts. It's the one that got, I love Michael, you're the most amazing chap, to how dare you have that man on your podcast. So he obviously upsets. And I think the reason why people get upset about these courses is that they forget about the bit of work afterwards. Mm. So, you know, would you have managed to have got what you got if you'd just gone into the Tooting barbershop there from cold?
Do you think LSB was still part of the process to get you to the number to haircut one of the 100 that followed?
You know, I think there's two answers to that. I think the first answer was, if I'd gone into the day after qualifying, I think I would have felt that impact loads. And for me, at my age and the time I started doing it, it was great. Mm. It was like a taste test. Yeah. You know, it was a safe environment in an academy. You know, I've had educational experience before, so I knew that and I could understand it.
And you knew how to approach every haircut. Yeah. You had that base knowledge.
And that was what I took away from LSB, that, you know, health and safety, consultations, shampoo, condition. This is a short back and size. This is a skin fade. This is a scissor cut. And that for me was great. And actually I needed that.
And that probably halved the, if you hadn't done that, it would have probably been 10 or 12 months as senior apprentice.
And then I think the second part of the answer is, senior apprentice sounds great, doesn't it? The second half of that is if, you know, someone like Georgie had taken me on as an apprentice, the teaching was excellent, you know? Mm. So I think, I couldn't say how long it would have taken me, but I was lucky to have someone like that as my first teacher and mentor. It's a hard one to answer, but it's valuable.
I'm just wanting to kind of labour the point, because I have it a lot, and I think there are a lot of people like yourself, and you know,
with degrees of senior apprenticeships in them,
that have gone and done the course, and we need to find. And I'm trying to encourage everybody to try and accommodate, to try and be like
Georgie.
To be like Georgie, to kind of go, you know what, yeah, let's sit you in the corner, let's work with this. We've got enough barbers here to oversee. Let's just get on with this. And for the barbers themselves to recognise that this is step one of the transition, whether it's your first job or a career change.
Yeah.
But you need that experience of working in a shop.
You do.
And I don't think that belittles what happens at LSB.
No.
It's a foundation for the next bit. And I think there's a lot of barber shops that expect them to leapfrog that bit. And I think there's a bit of work we've got to do in the middle.
Yeah.
But then you've gone from previous life to lockdown to training to gone. You're working in Tooting.
Yeah.
How'd you get to where you are?
So
2 months ago.
So I finished in Tooting August 22.
So you worked there for
a good year.
Year and a bit, yeah, almost a year and a half.
From doing your apprenticeship, finishing there.
Yeah, and then we decided post-lockdown we wanted to get out of London. We'd always wanted to live in Brighton. The cards fell well for us and we were able to move down to the coast. And I've known Paul Hewitt for 20 years now. Very, very good friends with him and his brother. And I messaged Paul and I said, we're coming to Brighton. Is there any chance of a job? And he said, of course, sure. So we had that conversation, you know, went through the interview process, all those bits, and started there at the end of August 22. Incredible shop right in the centre of Brighton. Currently in its format, it's a three-chair shop. And it's modern traditional barbering. Mm. Real focus on customer service, client care, doing the best by the people in our community. But again, that was like another drop. You know, I'd got myself established in Tooting and I thought I knew what I was doing. I was only really 18 months in, then I got into this super busy, super well-known, popular barbers, and I thought, I need to get better quick again here, you know? So that was like the second, really, or second or third baptism of fire. Yeah.
Yeah. But did it feel like you'd arrived though? Did you feel more like, you know, having arrived as a barber rather than with any apprentice?
Yeah.
That it felt like the journey, you'd made it, you'd become a barber by then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was absolutely a barber. I knew what I was doing. I felt confident that within reason, anything that came through the door, it might not be an expert, but I certainly could.
Got rid of the trickle of terror down the spine when you were walking towards a client.
Seeing a new name on the booking sheet and going, I don't know who that is. What's going to happen? No, certainly. I was ready and I was excited by the challenge of continuing and getting better. And I'd made it a real point during my whole time up till now to have further education. And that was something, going back to your question earlier about, it's like a combination of things, isn't it? Shop experience, educational experience, however that comes, using online, you know, continuing having training days, all these things make a big difference, I think.
No, I think it does. And I think that kind of the intensity of situations, it's that kind of, you know, it distills you. Yeah, I mean, I've had one of my apprentices who's qualified now. She's doing amazingly in the hair salon. But just really shied off of clippers. And even though we've got some amazing barbers with us, we sent her for a week over at LSB just for confidence. And she came back flying. And I mean, unbelievable. She's now chomping at the bit to go and work in the barbers weekly. Amazing. And it's just made that change. And I think sometimes you just need to distill the whole process down to make it work. So you were one of three barbers in Blacklemore.
Yeah, that's it. And like I said, it was over the years, it's had different iterations. I think they had five barbers in there at one point.
Right.
Lots of different formats. But yeah, the three of us have been in there. Lucky to be so busy in such a great city with such a diverse community, great culture, so many fun and amazing, cool people around. So, you know, for me, it was like the learning curve was so good because, you know, you've got so many different people coming in with different hair types, different requirements. And it was a bit like London for me, you know. It feels the fashion and it feels the trend. So, you know, when mullets started coming in, but then they've developed into faux hawks and mohawks and crop mullets, and then how the burst fades have started to come in. It always feels like we're just a bit of ahead of other people, you know, and it's so fun getting that stuff coming in.
But I think getting yourself out there, like I said, I ran into you at Barber Connect and you'd just done your first live audience haircut.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we spoke about it a little bit, but how do you approach that?
Well, I got asked by Sean at Modern Barber Magazine to do it. And initially I was super nervous because, you know, you have that imposter syndrome or I don't think I'm good enough. And then...
In a room full of your peers all wandering around critiquing you.
You know, just so many experts that I've looked up to and friends and colleagues, and they look at you and you're like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. But I thought, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, well done.
And it was a great experience. I know Simon, who was hosting. I've got to know Sid a little bit. So it became a really fun, friendly, enjoyable experience. And people were watching and looked like they were taking stuff on. And it was, once I started, I was like, it is just a haircut. Mm. You know, I know what I'm doing here. And that's when it started to feel comfortable. It was like the build-up that was the worst bit.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think everyone is terrified of the parachute jump right up until they leave the plane. And then it becomes the best flight of their life, doesn't it?
My biggest fear was like I cut my finger or something. I thought, what am I going to do if I cut my finger up? Doesn't happen anymore, and I didn't, thank goodness, and the haircut was all right in the end.
Well done. Nice to see your name amongst the kind of peer group that you were on the bill with.
Yeah, you know, and those feel like you know milestones, because you know career changing and doing something completely different is a big step, and it takes a lot emotionally, mentally and physically, and then seeing rewards like that, you know, it was a lovely thing to be offered, and I'm so glad I did it.
So from doing LSB to Modern Barber to Barber Connect was 3 years, 2.5 years?
Yeah, I've been on the shop floor 3 years, April just gone.
Wow.
And then was at Barber Connect in June.
That's amazing. But again, you know, you keep labouring that point. You've still got to do the work. You still have to, you know, you've got to graft for it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's it, you've got to graft. I did a lot of time. I was an ambassador for the Lions Barber Collective. You know, I met Tom at the Raw Talent Barbering Competition, I think, in 21.
Yeah.
And I found Tom and the charity and the cause incredible. And I got into it and I became an ambassador. Then I volunteered one day, full day a week to bring my old skills in. So that was another big part of my learning, being able to cut at building sites, cut at offices, cut at all over the country, because festivals, you just never knew what was coming. And yeah, that graft, and it was that coming in to Barber Connect, getting that all together was a lot of fun. And it was nice to
I think that's a bit, having kind of done this, you kind of, I've become very aware of just how kind of, you know, how many kind of onion skins there are on our industry, that the more you peel, the more you find. And it is, and again, time and time again, it's the people who are putting themselves out there find more opportunities land on their laps, and you know, it
looks easy, but only because you've gone through the kind of pain factor of like, fuck it, I can do it, I'm going to do it, and just throwing yourself out of the plane.
Someone said to me, describe like your first year or 2 years, and I said it was like a mixture of adulation and humiliation, because sometimes I was like on top of the world. I was like, oh my god, look at that haircut.
I was born for this.
And then you think, right, who's next? And the haircut comes in, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't go how you expect. And I thought, it was just that constant. Yeah. And I even drew it in my journal, and I drew it in that book. And I remember thinking those peaks and troughs were coming more level, you know, and it was more like a nice wave. And I thought, God, I remember doing that and thinking, that feels more settled now. And I'm, like you said, that spine tingle started to go. And it felt a lot better that I wasn't panicking, you know.
So you kind of, you know, you've achieved that goal that you discovered driving a small van around tiny corners in Croatia. Yeah. And now you've become a salon, you've become a barbershop owner.
Yeah.
You own the shop that you've been working in. How did that come about, and how's that feeling?
Feels great. It's, you know, feels very surreal still. You know, like I said earlier, I've known Paul a long time. And... you know, I'm sure lots of people who are listening to this know who Paul is, and some of the Paul Hewitt is, and some of the incredible stuff he's done. He actually helped me along my journey, another great person that I've had. And earlier this year, we just started having that conversation. He's super successful and doing lots of great things. And, you know, it was time for him to pass that along. And we had that conversation, and Faye and I talked about it at length, you know, because it's a significant change going from working in a shop to suddenly, you know, having a name on the lease and, you know, everything that goes with running a business. But for us, it was just too good an opportunity to pass by. The guys that work in the shop are fantastic. And we made that decision, I think March, April time, that we were going to go for it. And then we really got the ball rolling. And then 1st of May, we took over.
Mate, it's fantastic. I'm really chuffed for you.
Thank you.
That's excellent. But, you know, now you've just kind of leveled yourself as a barber. Now you're on that new bouncy road of barber, of owner. Has it gone well so far? Are you pleased you're doing it?
Yeah.
And presumably this is a bit more of a marriage of your old life and your new life coming together.
Yeah. I think something I've been really conscious about on this entire process from making the decision to doing this now is that skill part. And I remember thinking my customer service or my knowledge or my IT skills or the things I'd done previously, sales, whatever it was, you know, I always felt like, okay, they're higher, right? But my skills were lower. And I was always conscious of not trying to get ahead of myself. And even if I wanted to, I couldn't. For me, the key of this business and this industry that I've learned in my short time in it is it's all about the community you're in. It's about the clients who come back to you. It's a privilege that they let us cut their hair. You know, they don't have to come to me. And I even look at that with my clients who I've been cutting for 2 years now. You know, I always look and go, I get on really well with, let's say you're my client, but the most important thing is that I give that person a good haircut before anything else, because they are still paying me. And, you know, for me, client care, client, you know, experience, how you treat them is so important. And that to me is the premium thing. And then everything else will come after that. And I think, you know, for me personally, I do care. And I remember, you know, oh God, I hope that person's happy with that cut. I hope they come back. If they don't come back, at least I did the very best I could do. So that was the big thing. I wouldn't want to take on a shop without being established and having a happy and sort of flourishing client base, which is, I've been lucky to have. People have given me chances, they've come back, you know, and I've always tried to have open communication with my clients, say in my consultations, like, how was the last trim? Was it good? Was anything not right? And I always encourage that space for them to say, you know what, Dan, a bit short, a bit high, take more off, too much weight, whatever it was. So that's why it felt like the right time. And because I've got that, and I've got a good, incredible set of people who come and let me cut their hair, I was able to go, yeah, you know what, we can take this.
I think that's it. I think that whole idea of being kind of the heart of the community. Yeah, I've always kind of thought of myself as a shopkeeper. I've never called mine anything other than shops.
Yeah.
I'm a shopkeeper. I like being a shopkeeper. I love being part of the community. I love knowing everyone. I love people coming in and you know, knowing their names and that genuine joy that they come in. So yeah. I love that you've kind of bought into that at the core of your shopkeeping, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And changes, much changed? Have you got the same barbers that you were working with before, but now you're the boss, or has there been bigger changes in there?
No, one of the guys moved on. He got a great opportunity to move on and start his own business within another shop. And you know, we're super happy for him. We did a big post, you know, about him moving on and how happy we were, and you know, it was so well received. You know, it was I think the most engaged with post we've ever had. Because a big thing for me is, you know, when it comes time for someone to move on, you know, I want them to leave happy and go on to be successful.
Yeah.
And that was the same in my own career. So, you know, we did the post, we put where he was going, you know, and we collaborated on this, you know, Adrian, who actually moved on, we collaborated on it. It was his idea. We put the map on there, we put where he was going, his details, because we wanted his clients to know. You know, yeah. We didn't want to keep them and go, no, they're ours. No, you've worked hard for 2.5 years. So Joe...
Your guys are self-employed.
Yes, yeah. So it's me and Joe and myself at the moment. Joe's been in the shop 3.5 years. He's doing incredibly well. Again, incredibly talented barber. He's got an unbelievable set of clients who he works with. And he's at the moment, he's starting his own YouTube channel. It's called Section D. He's interviewing his clients, trims and chats. So it's nice, you know, you want that. It's like a tree, yeah. Isn't it? The branches go out.
Well, I think especially seeing, you know, your experience in the industry has been really supportive, you know. Yeah. You know, the guys at LSB were obviously really supportive from your day one nervous breakdown, sweaty haircut to your week eight where you were, you know, you were nailing it apart from your hemorrhaging finger.
Yeah. Right the way through to Georgie picking up.
And I think that's the thing. I think when you've encountered really, really great people and great experiences, your urge to pass that on is really strong.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you come across a tosser that just makes life uncomfortable, you just rack them into the pile because the great people are much more evident. You know, right the way back to the people that trained me, I've still got really positive thoughts for them. And, you know, if I have a staff member that, you know, doesn't turn out like the way we wanted them to be or to turn out the person we hoped they were, it's not a big deal because we have so many people that are so brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that you've got that and you want to pass that on, I think that's lovely. You know, we've had lots of messages and irate of, you know, about chair rental and not being able to take your clients. And the fact that you've been able to be mature and sensible about it, I think shows, I know you're not a kid, but for, you know, for 3.5 years in the industry, you know, from meeting you, mate, you got a level of maturity about this gig that's really impressive. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Really good to meet you properly. I really enjoy you chatting to you, and I'm so pleased you made it up.
And thank you for having me.
And for your time.
Thank you for having me.
That's been another episode. Thank you. Hi there. If you've got a story or know someone with a story or have a topic that you think we should cover that we haven't yet, please get in touch. We'd love to speak to you.